Amen. Kevin and Nora knocked it out of the park. Thank you guys so much. Dr. Phil, thank you, Kathy, so much for this opportunity to speak today. You guys are so special in our lives and have been for many years. And I also want to say this morning, thank you for all of those that came with us from Legacy. We're so appreciative of y'all. Of you guys are graduates, going to be ordained tomorrow evening, and or tonight, excuse me. And we're just happy that you guys traveled with us. And how many of you have downloaded the Destiny application? You need to download that Destiny application so you can keep up with everything that's going on. And we want you to do that. And appreciate all of you so much. I look around this morning and wanted to take just a second to settle in today. But I look around this morning and I see so many people that we've just admired and loved for so many years. And from Jonathan Suber way back in the day, whenever my oldest son would travel with him out of Austin, Texas, and what he means to our family. And so many of you that are here that we've admired from a distance for so long. And it's just a privilege to have this opportunity to share with you just a little bit of our heart today. And Dr. Phil asked me to speak about Legacy. A couple of years ago, actually it was the beginning of 2016, we changed and rebranded everything that we were doing as a ministry. And we rebranded, and we literally had prayed for about 18 months about what are we going to rebrand. We knew we wanted to rebrand. We didn't really realize the name, and we were praying about it because we didn't want to do that ever again. And was sitting in a board meeting one night, and our administrator was sitting there, and he just looked at me, and he said, "Well, Pastor, you know what the name is." And I'm like, 18 months into this, speak, you know. And he said, "Well, it's Legacy." He said, "Because you talk about that all of the time." And I said, "You know, that's it." So I called my son. We had started the church in Nashville, and I said, "Lyle, I said, this is it. What do you think?" He said, "That's it. That's it. That's it." And so we began in 2016, January, to begin to rebrand and to build our brand around what we wanted to be for our DNA. And we just began to build around this term Legacy. And the very thought of it and what it really means. Scripture, there's so much in Scripture that talks about legacy and inheritance. And I only really have one Scripture for you today that I'll read in a moment. But there's so much that we can lean into whenever we begin to deal about this subject matter. I look back and I began to think about how would I even begin to talk about legacy. I don't come from a pedigree of pastors and ministers. My father and mother owned a business for 40 years, 40 plus years actually. I grew up in a grocery store and a hardware store and worked in there for many, many years growing up, and had a wonderful life, enjoyed what I did and enjoyed the family that had raised me and how we had lived our lives. And what a wonderful childhood that I really had. My wife and I got married and in my early 20s, I finally got saved. And when I say saved, we went to a little Methodist church for years, but I had really made no real effort to make Christ my center focal point. And at some point, whenever she looked at me one day and she said, "You know, Jeff," she said, "if we don't get in church, I'm leaving you." And so, I mean, it was really just sort of put out there, you know. And I said, "Well, maybe we need to find a church and we need to get into church." And so I really did love her. I just didn't act like it. Anybody else? I mean, I really did. I really loved her, but I just didn't act like it too well sometimes. And so we got into church, and I said, "Well, we'll go down here to the little Methodist church." She said, "Oh, no, we're not going down to the little Methodist church. I grew up Pentecostal. We're going to go over to the Pentecostal church." So I went for my first time to the Pentecostal church, and I told her after church, I said, "That'll never happen again." She said, "Oh, yeah, it's going to happen again." And so I made my way through that initial shock factor of my visit to the Pentecostal church. But I'm very, very thankful for a legacy. I'm thankful that that my father raised me the way he did, he and my mother. And legacy is truly a decision to give yourself away. That's really the decision that all of us must come to in our life and ministry and having family. Ease is a greater threat to progress than hardship. And I find myself today, as I've grown a little older, a few things that we have, we're not pressed so hard on certain sides anymore. And I could get very comfortable where we are. But I come to realize that ease is the greatest threat to everything that I have hope for in legacy. A great man once said, Winston Churchill said this. He said, you know, it's in a bunker literally in London on a poster on the wall. And he said this in the middle of World War II to his people. He said, self-indulgence at this time is helping the enemy. And I really believe that is the case in the body of Christ today. Now, I sometimes can come across very strong because I have strong opinions with this very subject. And I believe that oftentimes if we don't watch ourselves, that we're giving away, we are consuming things that maybe we ought to be leaving. Because I really do believe that we can't consume everything that God gives us. Because there are people that are looking at us and to us to be able to gain a foothold in their lives. One great author once said that I want my children, the next generation, to be able to build off of my ceiling. That becomes their floor. I really believe that. I often think that oftentimes our next generation has to start over because we, this generation, haven't given them something to build off of. So they have to start over once again. So when does legacy really become serious within us? It must become the now topic. It must become who we are today. You can't wait about legacy because legacy is real. It's got to be who we are today. I ran across a wonderful little scripture in Psalm 2:8 out of the ESV. It says, ask of me and I will make the nations your heritage and the ends of the earth your possession. You know, I really began to believe that God really will give me anything that I ask for. I really do believe that. I believe that He wants to give me more than I'm capable of stewarding. So therefore, I have to broaden my ability to steward because God wants to give me more. And I know that more means better stewardship of than now. And so therefore, whenever I become the steward that I need to be today, then I can access the more that God has for me. For 25 years, I worked in the business world. For 25 years. I started when I was 10 and for 20. For 25 years, I worked with great men. I was so fortunate. God's always had His hand upon us in many different degrees and angles. I had 5 clients in my life that literally were on the Forbes 500 list. And as I would sit with him oftentimes, and he would take us to the UK football games, for he had a box there. We could pull back the glass door and listen to the game or pull it shut, and we would have visitors come by of the coaches and the athletic directors of the universities, from the men's ball team to everyone that was involved. And I'll never forget, he would want me to sit beside him oftentimes, and he would ask me, he would say, Jeff, whenever I ask you, I want you to tell me. I was probably 20 years ago now, time flies. And he would say, I want you to tell me that whenever I give you a number of the opposing team, I want you to tell me where he went to high school, how much he weighs, where he's from. And so we would go through this in our time together there. Very wealthy man. And I'll never forget one day he leaned over to me and he said this to me. He said, Jeff, you're going to need 5 men or 5 people in your life. He said, you're going to need a spiritual man. And I said, well, I think I've got that one covered. Because, of course, at that moment in time, we were very in depth in our walk with God, going through seminary and different things, which he didn't really realize that at the time. And he said, and you're going to need an attorney. I said, why do I need an attorney? He said, Jeff, as you grow, you're going to need an attorney. He said, you're going to need in your life, Jeff, a physician. I said, I run every day. I don't need really a... He said, listen to me, you're going to need a physician in your life. Find it now before you need it, because you're going to eventually need a physician. And he said, and you're going to need a banker. Every great man has a great banker by his side. And I know we have one here, and I don't see his face. I was looking for him earlier. I was going to point him out. But you're going to need a banker in your life. And he said, Jeff, you're going to need a broker in your life because God's going to bless you and you're going to need a place to put the money that he's going to give you. And I took him serious. And I began to place these people in my life to begin to set us up for a place of legacy. And so as we did that, I began and I started, we planted our first church and we planted another church in a nearby city. And I really was dealing with identity. I had some identity issues. I don't know about you, maybe you don't, but I had some identity issues going on the inside of me. I really didn't know how to deal with some things that were going on in the inside of me because I must admit that I ministered for years, honestly, quite honestly, and I really didn't know what was all going on the inside of me. I had competitiveness on the inside of me. I had striving on the inside of me. I had worries about money on the inside of me. I had frustrations on the inside of me that I really didn't know where they come from because I was happy. I felt good about things and I really felt like that we were planning and we were doing things. And I've become one to realize that I can't plan for everything, but I do realize I've got to learn as well to be spontaneous when God moves. And I was going through an identity crisis of some kind. And I'm a faster. I was taught early on in my life to fast. I was in a long fast, my second long fast I've ever done in my life. And I was in that long fast, and I was sitting in my prayer chair. And a great man once told me, he said, Jeff, he said, now you listen to me, I know you pray. He said, but I'm not talking about your discourse and prayer up declaring and doing this and forgiving. He said, I want you to make a habit in your life. And he said, in this habit, he said, I want you to sit in your prayer chair for 10 to 15 minutes every single day. And I'm not talking about the chair behind your desk. I'm talking about a chair somewhere else, but behind your desk that you work every day. And so I every day after that, I really do, guys. I want you to know, and I don't know where you are in your ministry and in your life, but I take people seriously whenever something resonates with me. I really try to apply it to my life. And so I went home that after that time that we had spent with this wonderful gentleman, and I began to apply that. And for 10 or 15 minutes every single day, I sit in a chair and I don't say a word. He said, I don't want you to play music. He said, I don't want you to say a word. I don't want you maybe bring a journal with you, but I don't want you to do anything but say, Lord, speak to me. And I was into that fast, and I was dealing with this identity, and tears somewhere in the 30s of days, and tears welled up in my eyes that day, and I'll never forget it as long as I live because it really changed my ministry. I was sitting there, and as tears welled up in my eyes, and God began to speak to me, I began to be very honest with God about how I really felt about some things. I was bitter about some things because the church that we had initially planted and planted the one that we're now pastoring in Owensboro, there was a lot of turmoil that came out of that church, first church plant about us planting the next church. And I had abandoned them according to their terminology and a lot of things that I felt was very hurtful because I got a lot of those people out of cars. I got a lot of those people off of drugs. I prayed a lot of those people through the power of the Holy Spirit. There was a lot of those people that we had invested our life into and I was hurt and I was mad on the inside. Nobody really knew it. Some did that were close enough to me. But that day God spoke to me. And I said, God, I feel like that church and that ministry and that resource of ministry was stolen from us. And God, and I'm telling you guys, God spoke to me that day. And he said this, and I rarely say that, but God spoke to me that day because it changed me. God spoke to me and he said, when you find the thief, what happens? That's exactly what God said. And I was like, my God, this is not just Jeff, this is Bible. And God said, when you find the thief, what happens? I said, Solomon said he has to repay seven times. And God said, so be it. I said, I don't want seven, I want 10. He said, by your faith, so be it. And so everything that we gave up and resigned and walked away from, God told me that moment in prayer and that moment in my quiet time, God said, everything that you've ever had to give away, because you know that the enemy stole that resource out of your ministry, I'm going to give back to you 10 times, and that's my word. Mark it down. And so that day, at that moment of time, I stood up out of my chair, my prayer chair, and as I stood there, and my office, my prayer chair is on the other side of my desk. It's the one on the right. If you come in my office, I have two chairs. I have three, actually. And there's one here and there's one there. And that's my prayer chair right there. And I sit in that chair for 10 to 15 minutes every day. And God speaks to me there. And I'm telling you, that day whenever I stood up, it was like taking a coat and it dropping to the floor, and competitiveness left. And hurt left. And pain left. And all of my issues that I had going on the inside of me left. And the reason why it left was because I had a word from God. It wasn't a word that somebody, I got out of a great message, which was awesome, but it wasn't that. And it wasn't just a good thought or a happy thought. No, it was the Word of God. It was the power of the Word of God that penetrated through all of that mess that was going on internally in me. And God spoke to me, and I could nail it down by pulling out my Bible and saying, "This is what God said." And that day, something left me that freed me to be all that God called me to be. And I gained my identity that day. After many years, literally many years of pastoring, I gained something that day. I'm saying today about legacy. Legacy is not just what you become. It's about facing God with what you've done. It's about doing something. It's not about just becoming. It's about doing. And it's whenever the doing begins to take place in our lives. It's whenever we be who we have, good English grammar, but it's whenever we become what we've been called to become. Nothing more, nothing less. But I can tell you today, I feel like that I know exactly what God's called me to pastor in Owensboro, Kentucky. I almost have it down to the number. Literally. Because God promised it. Melissa and I certainly are not perfect, and you heard her speak yesterday, and what a wonderful, wonderful wife I have. Amen. I don't know where I'm on time. I'm out of time. I'm done already. Melissa and the boys, I have four boys. And they have been my foundation so oftentimes. Our church in Nashville that our oldest son and Allison pastor is thriving. Bryson, which traveled with Dr. Phil for a year and did his study under Dr. Phil, married a wonderful girl by the name of Heather. They're in Florida today on a week-long vacation. I wish they could have been here. Jordan and Amber, they just had a baby about a week and a half ago. But I was able to bring Spencer with me this morning. And he's serving in our church in Nashville. We planted the church in Owensboro 3 years ago or so. We planted the church in Nashville. Really didn't mean to. Really didn't even want to. But because the people were gathering and because they just kept getting larger, we had to go rent a facility. And it's become a church of over 300 people in such a short period of time. C.S. Lewis said this. He said, "When first things are put first, second things are not suppressed. They are increased." There was something a man once said to me. I think it was Dr. Phil Brassfield many years ago. And he said to me, "Jeff, rarely do even pastors find convergence." I would love some music. That would be great. I was at a client's office with the principal owner of the company that I work for. I walked out with him, got in his truck after renewing and taking care of this wonderful gentleman. And he looked at me, and we had just been through a great, I want to call it just an overview of the company. And he said, "Jeff, I need more of your time. I took care of a whole half of their side of their business. My side of the house was profitable to 41 cents on the dollar. Their side of the house was profitable to the tune of not quite a dime on the dollar. Now, give them credit. They had a lot more overhead. They had a lot more service involved on their side. But, Jeff, I need more of your time." Holy Spirit quickened in me. We were pastoring at the time. And I said, "Chess, I can't give it to you." And I knew I walked over a threshold that I could never go back after that statement. because I couldn't give him what he needed from me any longer. I'm talking to some of you out there that are working full-time jobs in pastoring now. Don't you feel like a second-class citizen in this room today? Because there are some of you in this room that are taking care of some kids. You're taking care of some families. And I'm not in this room today better than you. I'm in this room today speaking to you because God's done something wonderful. And God will do the same thing for you. God's no respecter of persons. But that day I had to look at him and say, and a great friend of mine as well, 25 years, I said, you've got to make an exit strategy for me. He said, Jeff, I don't want to do that. I said, Chess, I know you don't, but you've got to. Because I can't give you what you want any longer. I can't give you what you need from me any longer. Time is my most valuable thing that I have. And I couldn't give him any more of my time. And convergence happened that day. Something came together. It was just like God said, don't fear, because immediately fear hit me. Oh God, I'm walking away from a lot. I feel like God's speaking to some of us in this room right now. Because legacy's bigger than we are. Legacy is my marriage to my wife for 34 years. Legacy is my four boys, which are great men of God. Legacy is getting beyond myself. What does the next 100 years look like? I'm not real sure, but I do know that history will speak well of us because we intend to write it. Our legacy is that there's coming a day that I know that all of my wonderful grandbabies and my boys and my daughter-in-laws, we're going to be shouting the streets of gold one day. Legacy is...